It's the Daily News Flash from Wine Country with Barry Martin, briefing you on today's top stories.
We dive into the news. Let's get started for Thursday, April 29th, 2021. Here are some top stories for today. His first address to a joint session of Congress, President Joe Biden last night, looking back on his first 100 days in office and laying out visions for the future of his administration. He talked about increasing taxes on the rich, urged Congress to take action on gun violence and police reform. The president focused on goals he achieved in his first 100 days. It's a milestone that he'll pass on Friday, in fact. That benchmark is arbitrary, but has been considered a standard by which presidents have been holding themselves accountable, or others have held them accountable. In terms of delivering on policy priorities, it's been a tradition since Franklin Delano Roosevelt first coined the phrase, lo, those many years ago. So the president's message to the joint session of Congress, top story number one for today. Good to ride on a great economic expansion if you've just taken the office of the presidency recently. The United States economy growing at a brisk 6.4 annual rate last quarter, fueled by government aid and declining virus cases. This could drive further gains as the nation appears to be rebounding with unusual speed from the pandemic recession. Today's report out from the Commerce Department estimating that the nation's gross domestic product accelerated in the January to March quarter from a 4.3% gain in the final quarter of 2020, 4.3 to 6.4. And we got past that winter surge and things really started to get traction. Growth in the current quarter is expected to be faster still, approaching potentially a 10% annual pace or more. This will be led by an increase in people willing and able to travel, shop, and dine out, and otherwise resume normal spending habits. The jump in demand, interestingly, is already straining factories and transportation networks. There are shortages in lumber, steel, computer chips, and other categories. Also from the economic news, the number of Americans applying for unemployment benefits dropped by 13,000 last week. 553,000 was the number. That's the lowest level since the pandemic began. The previous lowest level was the week before. So it's another indicator of the curve we're on right now. The economy continuing to recover, says the Labor Department. Jobless claims down, as I mentioned, from the previous week and have fallen sharply over the past year. But it's good to keep in mind that a typical weekly figure for new unemployment claims pre-pandemic would have been about 230,000. So we're still more than double that with the current figures out today. Nearly 3.7 million people currently receiving traditional state unemployment benefits. That was for the week ending April 17th, including federal programs. The total comes to 16.6 million. Some type of jobless aid. That was as of the week ending April 10th. That's a big figure. The job market bouncing back big time in recent months. Employers adding an impressive 916,000 jobs in March. The Labor Department expecting to report next week of 875,000 new jobs. That's the projected figure. We'll get that number a week from now. The unemployment rate, by the way, has dropped from 14.8% a year ago to 6% now, another sign of continued recovery. This is a lot of good news in item number two there. I like it. Let's keep rolling. Item number three, also good news. For Napa County, just four new COVID cases reported on Wednesday. That's right, four, single-digit number, lowest total in 6 months, says the Napa Valley Register. Daily cases mostly in double digits this month and then a significant drop this week. Total of 26 cases since last Friday's report. Over the same period last week, that number was 71. So from 71 to 26 in terms of decline in new cases found in Napa County. Good news on the coronavirus front locally. Also good news locally. Top story number four for today. Directors of the Napa Valley Expo are ready to get things going again this summer at the fairgrounds. Here is what they have in mind. This is a coverage by Howard Yoon in the Napa Valley Register of Tuesday's Expo Board of Directors meeting. They're looking at splitting up what used to be the Town and Country Fair and the livestock auction as combined events that took place at the same time. They're looking at breaking that into two different events, a carnival that would take place in June, the 23rd through the 27th, if you want to grab your calendar, 5-day carnival being produced by a company called Helm and Sons. They have done so with the socially distanced, COVID-friendly carnival model in an earlier event in Southern California this month. So that would happen in June, potentially. This is not a final decision yet. And then the livestock auction, as a separate event with spectators, would take place July 7th through the 11th. This is typically the time for the Town and Country Fair. The actual auction would take place on Saturday, July 10th. This is a big event and a big deal, and very encouraging also on the good news side of the ledger that the Expo is looking to get people back on the fairgrounds this summer. Final decision expected for the Expo board on the 25th of May. And in connection to all of this, they've been sheltering people at the fairgrounds since the beginning of the pandemic. Traditionally, in non-pandemic past years, the winter shelter was often located there for just a few months, but it's been continuous for month after month. That will close in mid-June now. This also from Tuesday's Expo board meeting. Year and a half of nearly continuous operation of the winter shelter facility at the Expo. Those facilities will shut June 15th, according to the county, and the closing date is a couple of months later than what would typically be the end of winter shelter season. That's top story number four. Exciting to hear the Expo's plans. Number five, let's go to national politics for the story of Rudy Giuliani that's in the news this week. The FBI confiscating cell phones and computers from America's mayor. Part of the criminal investigation into Giuliani's dealings in Ukraine, says the New York Times. FBI agents executing warrants at Giuliani's offices and home on Tuesday is when this actually occurred, Tuesday morning. The execution of search warrants considered an extraordinary action for prosecutors to take against a lawyer. It's even more extraordinary when that lawyer is formerly the lawyer for the president, who as he was for Donald Trump. The move marked a major development in the long-running investigation into Rudy Giuliani. It examines some of the same people and conduct that were at the center of the first impeachment trial of Donald Trump. Irony of ironies, Giuliani is now being investigated by the same U.S. Attorney's Office in Manhattan, where he once earned a reputation as a hard-charging prosecutor who took on organized crime and corrupt politicians. Item number six, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security is extending the deadline for the Real ID again. Now, this makes a difference if you're planning to travel, but it doesn't make a difference right now. That's the important gist of this story. This will be important eventually. But with postponements of this deadline, now you have until May 2023 to have what's called a Real ID. Now, this is not something new and different. This is a new version of your driver's license, essentially. And it will increase security. That's the whole point of it. Make it harder for people to fake an identity and be able to get through an airport. It's all about terrorism prevention, really. The Real ID gives greater protection for the community at large. The deadline has been pushed back from October 1st of this year to May 3rd of 2023, second time the deadline's been extended. Former President Trump issued the first extension a little more than a year ago, and the California Department of Motor Vehicles being the nexus for this to happen, of course, gave a lot of people chills, trying to imagine how an agency that's had its struggles just doing normal business was going to be able to deal with being swamped with real ID requests. They had been bracing for this over the late summer. Now they can breathe a sigh of relief. U.S. residents will be required to present the real ID or a passport. Passport will still always work. Before you can get on a plane for domestic flights, they will also require this before you enter a federal building once this program is fully implemented. California's DMV expecting to process up to 1 million real ID applications a month beginning in August. That was their expectation before this extension of the deadline. They don't really know what it means now and how it will affect their workload. But a sigh of relief all around over that one. Top story number 7 now. Interesting polling on Governor Gavin Newsom and what the public thinks about various issues that are part of the recall effort. According to the Public Policy Institute of California, 59% of likely voters approve of the way Gavin Newsom is handling the reopening of schools, 40% disapproval, 59-40. Frustration over the schools issue did fuel the recall effort for some. The new poll, though, says this issue is not such a liability for him. In fact, support for Newsom's handling of school reopenings largely reflects partisan divisions. 80% of Democrats approve of his handling of school issues, 21% of Republicans, 56% of independents. Regardless of whether they support Newsom, nearly all of those in this survey agree that students have struggled trying to learn from home. The survey found 67% of likely voters think children are falling behind academically a lot during the pandemic. 22% say they're falling behind a little. Only 10% feel children are not falling behind at all. Pretty clear-cut results. That, again, a survey from the Public Policy Institute of California, which is a nonpartisan organization. That's number 7 today. And top story number 8, and our final item for today's Daily News Flash. The vaccination campaign continues rolling, and more than 234 million vaccine doses have now been administered in the United States. That data out from the CDC. 43% of the population now has received at least one dose. This is a national figure. 29.5% of the population now fully vaccinated. That equates to raw numbers, 143 million with at least one shot, about 98 million with both. The nation is administering now about 2.7 million doses per day. That's the rolling 7-day average. And very importantly, you know, why? Why does it all have to happen? Why do we need this vaccine campaign? Prevention, CDC shows that adults over the age of 65, more than two-thirds of whom are now fully vaccinated, are 94% less likely to be hospitalized due to COVID-19 than someone of the same age group unvaccinated. Just one dose of the Pfizer or Moderna vaccine, they found 64% effective in reducing hospitalizations among seniors. Pretty astonishing. And again, eyes on the prize. This is why we have gone to all the effort we've gone to, so that people have a chance to survive this. Remember back in the early phase of the pandemic, some critics were saying, well, you know, it only affects old people. Who cares about old people was the attitude. Well, I guess it turns out America does care about old people. And one other note on this story of success, it's hard to ignore how well the city of San Francisco has done in terms of coping with the pandemic and getting people vaccinated. Check out these numbers. Mayor London Breed quoted in the Chronicle from Wednesday, 70% of San Franciscans over 16 have at least the first shot, 15% above the rest of the country, 15%. The positivity rate from testing in San Francisco is 0.7%. Astonishing results. Mayor Breed in San Francisco saying we're nearing the end of this pandemic and we're going to keep up the pace until we get there. And on that optimistic note, that's top story number 8. That's the splash today. Thursday, April 29th, 2021.
That was your daily news flash from Wine Country with Barry Martin.